Welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. Today's topic is TIX Explorer, Identifying Common Problems, Getting Started. Today's presenter is Bill Bolfin. Bill provides Level 2 worldwide remote technical support for the TIX Tools portfolio of products. Bill has provided Level 2 support for TIX Tools portfolio since their introduction into the marketplace. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Bill.
Thank you, Joseph. Welcome, everybody. Today, we're just going to look at how to identify some of the problems that various clients have run into when they're just trying to get started with the TIX Explorer. So if you're on the call today and you're already connecting successfully everywhere else, you are probably already past any of these issues, and you can just listen if you like. Most of the problems that we'll just go over today deal with the initial connection coming in, either for the base Explorer itself or some of the plugins, and that's what we'll focus on, and a lot of those also are related to security issues. So that said, let's advance the slide, Joseph. So what we'll do is, just to begin, we'll take a look at what things Level 2 needs to know for any type of an Explorer problem, whether it's the base or with a plugin, so that we can better assist you in getting around that problem. We'll look at some problems getting started with the Explorer itself, the Interdependency Analyzer plugin, the Performance Analyzer plugin, and the Configuration Manager plugin. Those are the primary supported ones out there. There's certainly downloadable support packs for the WebSphere MQ plugin, the Omega Mon XE plugin, APA plugin for performance analysis, the debug tool, fault analyzer. We're not going to focus on those particular ones today, but if you do have any questions about them, go ahead and feel free to ask. Then we'll have a brief summary of what we've gone over, and in that time, then Joseph will conduct a brief survey, and then we'll open it up for questions and answers. So let's go to slide 3. So what do we need to know if you have a problem with the Explorer plugins? Again, if you're opening a problem with email or an ETR, we want to know exactly what you were doing when the failure occurred. That will save us from having to ask. Definitely another thing we like to know is, has this ever worked before? And if it did work, when did it start to fail? Any changes that you can identify for us will certainly help in getting closer to solving the problem. Any changes that you made to the workstation or to where the Explorer is installed, the host operating system, or any other software that may be relevant. Sometimes, you know, does the problem occur when connected only to specific connections? I mean, sometimes if it's the only users having the problem are connected in on a particular port to a particular CICS and the other people are not having a problem, and that's very important for us to know as far as narrowing down what to look at. Another thing is it occurring for all users or just certain users? And then also, too, the time of day. If it's something with retrieving data and it seems to, you know, it's only failing during, you know, peak or busy period, that is going to be helpful to us as well. Let's go to slide 4, please, Joseph. The other thing we'd like to know is how are you invoking the TIX Explorer? Are you running it from your desktop or using a shortcut that's picking up off a remote file system? Because sometimes that may have something to do with where the workspace is, where information is being saved. We could be picking up something incorrect from there. And really, lastly, just provide as many details about exactly what was seen in the problem you're having, particular navigation sequences, if they're complex leading up to when the problem occurs, if it's in core out, so either, you know, an icon or something is not displaying correctly or the data is garbled, go ahead and take a screenshot of that, and you can package that up and send it along in email. And if you don't capture the service data, which I'll talk about next, at a minimum, when you're going to send data to East Europe, get it go into Help, and then you drop down to About the Explorer, and then there's a configuration details and an error log. Those are, you know, at a minimum what we would need to start doing some type of diagnosis of the problem. So let's move to slide 5, please. This is the best piece of information because it captures the workspace and it captures a small Java core dump and the various tracing and log files. If you go into the upper left corner where it says Explorer there, when you go down two, it'll say Trace and there'll be an arrow to the right. You can go ahead and flush the data that's currently in the buffer, and then you can go back up and click on the collect service data. And it'll give you a little pop-up, and you can save the file as a it's got a predefined name with a date timestamp, and it'll save it as a zip file on your laptop, or you can save it to a remote file. But that zip file is what we really need you to include in, with all the other information and send up to us. So let's advance to slide 6. We're going to talk now about, in the Kick Explorer, one of the connection types. When you go into the window drop-down into the preferences, and then in the left nav, there's a connections navigation. In there, there's going to be a Kix management interface, choice of a connection on the base Explorer, a Kix Plex SM data interface, and a SystemZ FTP type of a connection you can configure. The concept of a system management single system connection, it doesn't actually show up in the Explorer as a choice. You just have the Kix management interface connection. And what will happen is it'll basically, based on the port number that you put in there, it's going to determine whether you're connecting to a CICS that is a WUI server, which is managing KixPlex with a CMAS, et cetera, or if you're connecting into a CICS that is not part of a larger KixPlex. It has no CMAS, no ESSS, or anything else related to KixPlex SM. And what we call that in the information center, the Kix 4.1 information center, is a system management single system environment, this SMSS. So this is the easiest thing to exploit when you've got a 4.1 region, and I need to probably preface this too. This is only available for 4.1 and above. This connection is not going to work in a 3.2 or a 3.1 region or below. So the next few slides, we're just really going to focus on some of the connectivity issues that people have run into and then how to identify them and basically get around them. So let's go to slide 7, please. So this are the set of messages you want to look for in your single Kix region JES message log. And when you'll see these are not going to be there at startup. So there's no PLT program that runs. There's no connection stuff that you specify. What happens is when you go into the Kix Explorer and then into the bottom right, go in there and actually connect to the Kix region with you put in the host name and the port number. At that time, if the connection works, if you go back and look in the JES message log, you'll see this set of messages coming out, an EYU NX001I saying that the SMSS initialization program is starting. And what you want to see at the end is the EYU NL0099I saying that the long-running task initialization is complete. So these messages are EYU prefix. So even though this single system Kix is not part of a KixPlex and is not connected to a CMAS, it's actually utilizing KixPlex SM agent code that used to be referred to as a remote managed address space. The reason this was done was simply because the code already existed and it had CPSM base tables to access all the resources, and it saved Kix development a great deal of time and effort and having to write a whole new interface inside a single CICS because they could basically make use of the CPSM agent code. But in this case, it's been modified slightly so that it actually doesn't have to talk to a CMAS or connect to an EYUX subsystem. It simply just runs inside the region all by itself, but makes use of the code that's there. So that's why you see some references to CPSM messages and why, on the next slide, the next thing we have to add in there. So let's go to slide 8, please. If for some reason you don't connect successfully when you try to connect in, and you go look at the JES message log and you don't see those EYU messages, the next thing you want to do is go check the message user, and what you're going to be looking for in there are some of the messages here, like the DFHSO0133 for the TCP/IP service and the URI map, because if you didn't get the EYU messages, there's a good chance either the TCP/IP service that's required to run in a SMSS or the URI map either didn't install at all or had an error trying to open the connection. So you want to go in there and check these. you'll see in here, mine's called WJB$WTC was the group name. CICS ships a sample called DFH$WTC. And you can go in there and copy that to your own group. You can name it something else. You can change the TCPIP port. You can change the security characteristics, whichever you really need. But whatever you change it to, what you all want to do is make sure those things are successfully installed with a set of messages like these. So let's go on to slide 9. The other reason, and it's, again, because it's a non-CPSM environment where people have run into errors, is you'll go to do the connection and you won't see the messages in the JES message log. You may not see them in the message user. And this can happen. You'll get a CNX0104 ESYNC. Connection fails as exception, and it's going to say the reason the response is not available and the reason is CPSM API. And if you look inside a KIX trace, you would see a link failure due to a program not found for EYU9 NXRM. And that really is we're just linking to what would have been a PLT module that we just call under the covers based on the URL that we get in for the request. Because people are taking their existing KIX regions that are not using CPSM, it requires you to have the SEYU load and SEYU off data sets in that CICS, in the STEP Live and in the DFH RPL. And so that's a typical thing people have run into because they install the TCPIP service and the URI map, but they don't add the CPSM data sets to their JCL. The other thing you want to do is you'll get the same error if SEYU load is not in DFH RPL but is in the STEPLIB. So don't put both off and load in STEPLIB. Off has to be in STEPLIB and the load has to be in the RPL. Let's go on to slide 10, please. The other thing you'll want to see in message user, if you have the data sets in there and everything else, is you'll see a DFH KC0102 in the basically the main transaction you're looking for in there is the CWWU. You'll see that the profile table entry has been added for that. And what occurs is as part of the initial connect request, when you're coming in, that EYU9 NXRM will get control from after it's parsed out the URL and seeing that you're trying to connect, seeing that it's a single CICS, and it's going to do execkix create commands and create all of the transactions, programs, et cetera, that it needs to run this CPSM agent environment in your KIX region. So if something went wrong there, you could find out by just starting to look for that first DFH KC0102. And if that's not there, you'd want to investigate what went wrong with the create of the resources. Let's go on to slide 11, please. The other thing, and this is not a problem, but you may see this in your logs, people have asked about it, is when you put in the TCPIP service, if you just take the DFH$WTC and just take the defaults that are not using any authentication or with SSL, the KIX Explorer, just to make it less complex to configure, you'll notice when you set up a connection down in the Explorer itself, you just give it the host and the port. You don't really have to tell it whether you're using SSL or not. What it does is it tries to connect as an SSL connection and do a handshake, and if that works, then it's going to use SSL, and if it doesn't work, then it'll switch back and not use SSL. So that you'll see a message coming out, DFHWB0361, if the TCPIP service for either an SMSS or if you're in a WUI server, which also do too, if there's no SSL in use, and that message is perfectly okay. Also, DFHWB0114 telling you a non-HTTP request has been received. And again, that also is perfectly okay if you're not using SSL, and you can just ignore it. There's no problem that's occurred. Go on to slide 12, please. And I think I did want to mention just one other problem that we ran into just a day ago that was reported to us that you want to just watch out for. If you are bringing up this SMS connection and it works, and you're experimenting with it, and you run without security, so you have sec equals no in the KIX sit, in the region, if you try to shut down the CICS from the Explorer, it'll tell you, you'll get a message back saying that the shutdown was successful, but the Kix region hangs and doesn't shut down. If you look in the JES message log, you'll see a message, EYU NX0048EZ, and we just opened an APAR yesterday on that, and that's Peter Mary 16246. And again, that's only going to occur when you try to shut down a region from the Explorer for SMSS if you don't have security. If you have SEC equals yes, it'll shut down just fine. The other thing that some people have run into that's not on the slide here is there's nothing that prevents you from taking that DFH dollar WUTC RDO group and installing it into a CICS that is part of a KixPlex. You wouldn't want to do that, and you certainly don't need to do that, but if you put that into a Kix region that's already connected to CPSM and then try to connect to that port that you put in the TCP/IP service, you'll get a CNX0104E connection refused down in the client. And so people were concerned, you know, because they went in there, they verified the service was there, it was open, the URI map was fine. It's just that you cannot use the SMSS type port if the region is already part of a KixPlex. So now on the next part here is the client management interface. This now is your KixPlex SM web user interface. So in this environment, you have a KixPlex. The environment is Kix TS41. And you're connecting to a WUI server that's got access to managing of your KixPlex. So let's look at some of the problems people run in there. Let's go to slide 13, please. So in this environment, and this is the modification to the WUI server EYU PARMS that some people have missed. When they'll have a WUI and they'll bring it up, and they'll try to connect from the Explorer using the TCP/IP port that they use for their browsers, for the WUI. And that's not going to work either. That's the wrong connection. There's a new EYU WUI PARM called CMCI port. And what you put in there is the port number that you're going to use for the Kix Explorer to connect to the WUI server. So it's not the same port that you would connect to the WUI server itself on. It's a separate port that the WUI server is going to be listening on. When that's in there, as soon as the WUI initializes, if the CMCI port is there, this is what you want to see to make sure that you'll be able to use the Explorer to connect. You'll see these messages, EYU VS0204I, and this is going to be in the EYU log of the WUI server. And that's going to show you the CMCI TCP/IP service that's been created, the URI map that it's created, and it'll just show you the port number that's going to be in use for this. If your WUI PARMs are set to use TCP IPSSL, the WUI server is smart enough to know to make that CMCI port and SSL connection. Second here. All right, let's advance to slide 14, please. The other errors that some people have seen when they're initially coming in and trying to connect, and this can also happen in an SMSS, not just in connecting to a WUI, but in the Explorer, you'll get a CNX0200I saying you're not connected. You'll get a CNX0104E saying the connection failed and the exception is going to be a java.net.socket exception, unexpected end of file from server, or, and it could be an and or, you may also get a stax parser exception, which are, you know, the reason we're looking at these, just so, again, you've got to kind of identify a connection problem. These errors are not what you expect, and they're because of the response coming back from the WUI server on the request. And the reason these will occur, let's go to slide 15, please, our security. If you have SEC equals yes in your SIT, For the most part, if you've been using it, the CWXN transaction you probably have access to. But if you don't have access to it, but the new one is the CWW transaction. So that one has been added, and if you don't have that defined to your security manager, you want to check message user, and if you're getting a DFHXS 1111 and a DFHWB0356I, it means that when the URI map is parsed, we wanted to start up the transaction. We couldn't do that, and then the errors you get back on the Explorer itself are going to be those socket IO exception or the stacks parser error. So if you get anything like that, first thing you want to do is start checking for security. If you're using Top Secret or something like that, I don't know that you'll get the DFHXS 1111, but you'll see something similar. You want to just look for CWWU or CWXN and see if there's any security-related messages anywhere in your logs for those two. That URL at the bottom, it's the section in the information center that tells you about the security changes that you have to define in order to make use of the Explorer. So let's go on to slide 16, please. Another thing that people have looked at before, because the status area in the Explorer is down in the bottom. That's what this is a picture of. If you've got a default warn count specified in your WUI parms for your WUI server, some people will connect in the very first time and go click on the Kixplex and go look at the view, and your eyes are drawn to the middle area of the Explorer client, and there's just no data. You don't see any data coming up about whatever. Check down at the status area and see if you're getting a CNX0222W warning threshold set, which could just mean you started out wanting to look at programs or terminals or something else that you have a warning threshold set on so that they wouldn't display. Let's go to slide 17, please. Another recent one that's come in is if your Kixplex name contains a pound character, the hash sign, or if a Kix group contains that hash sign, there's an open APAR IZ76428 for the Explorer and an open CPSM APAR for 4.1 PM15358. What will happen there is if you click on the Kixplex, you'll get a message down in the status area telling you that you had a connection error with invalid parm context and just that there's a parsing error on the hash sign. If you're in the Explorer and you go you're in the left nav, the second tab is the Kixplex repository resources. And if you expand those and you've got a Kix group that's got a name with a hash sign in it, let's go to slide 18, please. The symptom you would see there is if your Explorer may not respond for a little bit. It could be a minute or two or longer because it's basically going through memory. You get a basic loop occurs. Like in this case, you'll see in the pop-up that I put on the slide, my Kix group name was AORG2Pound. And when I was trying to expand that, when it came to the pound sign, it just keeps fetching it over and over and over, and I get a Stack Overflow exception when I ran out of memory. So that's a symptom you would see for that. And again, the APARs there should address that when they close, but they're not closed yet. Let's look at slide 19. The other connection type that's available from the Explorer, from the Preferences Connection tab, is the data interface, Kixplex-SM data interface. That is there if you are not yet on Kix TS4.1 and you want to have access to your Kix 3.2 Kixplex and your Kix 3.1 Kixplex environment. What we had spoken about earlier, the SMSS, again, that's a 4.1 only. So if you have 3.2 or 3.1 standalone CICSs that are not part of a Kixplex, there's nothing you can really do with the Explorer to connect to those. But if they are part of a Kixplex pre-4.1, you can connect using this Kixplex-SM data interface. And we'll look at some of the problems that some people have encountered trying to get started with that. You can use the data interface to connect to a Kix TS4.1 environment. It certainly will connect to the WUI server, but everything's going to be read-only. So this the other thing that's unique about this interface is with the you can inquire on resources, you can't action them. So you can't purge tasks, you can't open and close files, but you can look at things. So having said that, let's go on to slide 20. So this was one of the things that somebody ran into is they went in and they connected to their 3.2 KixPlex. The connection worked just fine, but they had no data. So in that left nav under the KixPlex, they didn't see anything. And, you know, I would go in and try it, and mine worked just fine. So it was puzzling as to what was going on there. So let's go on to slide 21, please. And what turned out is in this particular case, in the WUI PARMS, there's a one of the parameters is called the default CMAS context. And they had a CMAS in there which they actually had gotten rid of. They had specified it in the WUI PARM, and then that CMAS didn't exist anymore. And what happens is when you're using the data connection through the Explorer, it's going to use that to do the connection. You don't get an error back that you see on the Explorer itself. You just don't get any data. If you go into the service data and look at the error log and the trace, you'll see, let's go to slide 22, where it's highlighted in blue at the bottom, you would see in a trace level telling you that the response was okay, but an invalid PARM context occurred. And that's how we found this one and went back in and saw that the CMAS was the wrong CMAS for this particular environment. So let's now go to slide 23, please. Another reason you might not get data is if you're using the WUI PARM global pre-filter, yes. You can go in there and set it to no. And the other thing you want to do is these APARs, they're older APARs, but if, again, if you're connecting to a 32331 environment, you may or may not have them on. PK79671, which fixed a PE for PK66716, and for a 31 environment, PK79717. Let's go to slide 24, please. If you have a 4.1 environment for CICS and you were using a connection for the Kix management interface, one of the features of Kix 4.1 that was introduced for the API was the ability to manage your Kix DFHCSD resources through the Explorer. And someone was in there and they were doing that and they were actually editing and updating a particular resource on the CSD, and then they changed their connection to a data connection to look at something else, and it's just the exception was thrown. It's because the data interface can't manage the CSD resources. So if you see something like this, just know that that's normal when you're changing between environments, between 3.1.3.2 and 4.1 if you're using things related to the CSD, and those windows were open in edit mode at the time. Go to slide 25, please. The next step that some people have run into is in the Explorer also for 4.1, you have a event binding editor where you go in and you're basically building, you know, the event specifications and the capture specifications. But when you finish all of that editing, you need to export the file up to the host. And in the binding editor, there's an option to go ahead and FTP it to the ZFS file system. So we'll look at some of the things you can run into there when the file doesn't make it up there if you think it did. Let's advance to slide 26, please. And I'll preface it, it's all of the problems so far with going to the ZFS are security-related problems. So if you don't often use the ZFS file system and you're just starting to with the Kix Explorer, you just need to make sure that the group you're in or your user ID has the right permissions to the directories that you're going to be using. So when you're in the Explorer, like in this case, we'll show that we're in the Project Explorer and I have a particular event that I want to export back to the System Z, so I would right-click on it and say export to System Z. Let's go to slide 27, please. So in this case, the very first time you do it, you'll notice, and I just put a red circle around here, and it doesn't say this. I just put it in there that there's no Kix connection. So the first time you go to do this, there won't, it'll just be a box, and the drop-down won't have any place to go because you didn't define a connection. And it's not always intuitively obvious. You might go in there and build this and then say, oh, I see an export, and I want to export, but you have to actually create a connection. So you can go in there, and you'll see in the, if you were to go to the Kix Explorer Windows and Preferences, you'll see in the left nav under Connections, one of the connection types is a systemz FTP connection, and this is where you would have to, for the very first time, you're going to have to go ahead and create that connection. So if you get to the, if you're trying to export your bundle up to the host for the first time, there's nothing to choose from, it's because you have to build that initial connection. Let's go to slide 28, please. The user ID that you sign in with also needs to make sure it has an OMVS segment defined just to go in and do the FTP. If you don't, when you go to do the export with that user ID and password, you'll get a CNX0104E connection failed, socket exception saying the connection's been reset. And sometimes that doesn't occur immediately, so you want to make sure that's in place. Let's go to slide 29. Again, in the screen capture here, it says bad port number, but that doesn't, after I made the slide, I realized I was just naming my connections with what I was doing wrong. It won't actually say bad port number. That was just my description for this. But you'll try to connect if the port number is not a correct FTP port number that's being listened for. It'll sit there for a little bit, and you'll think it's trying to come in and do it, but it's really hung for a little bit, and you'll eventually get a timeout message at the bottom of the error. So you'll get this, again, the CNX0104E, which is the connection failed exception, but it'll say timeout on the connection if you've got the wrong port. Go to slide 30, please. This is about the only real external thing in the Explorer itself that I was able to see that you definitely know you've got some type of a security problem. So in this case, I logged in, and I was going to a directory path, both in KixTS and then a region name, and I had the option at the bottom check to delete the existing bundle that was out there. And in this case, it failed with a 550 error, and it's tied back to my permissions, as I'm not in a, I don't share across my IDs. I logged in with a user ID called Bolton 5, but I'm trying to delete out of a path where the user is Bolton into that directory, and it's because I didn't have my bits set correctly on the host, I get a 550 error. So everybody who, if you're going to be sharing things between different directories, everybody needs to be in the group with the right ability to do updates. Let's go to slide 31. So this is just an example of just going back into iShell, and you can go in and check, and the reason here is the permissions were set to 555 instead of a 755, which would have let me do that delete. Let's go to slide 32, please. If you put in an incorrect directory, let's take a look, and I'll go to slide 33, and it'll tell you, and this is the one that we want to try to get changed, it's going to tell me in the status area, let's say project AMNU exported to the USS folder, user Bolton KixTS, WJB, MS41D. So it tells me it worked. But if you go up on the host and try to do something with it, or even from the Explorer, you try to now go ahead and install that bundle from the Explorer, it's not there. So it tells you it did it, but if you go look in the log, you'll see the log in the Explorer. So you go into the service data, or you just look at the error log, and there'll be a message out there telling you that the file's not found, and it's really down here at the bottom, the 550 is due to the EDC 5111I permission denied with that error node 2. So this is the one that we'll probably try to address, but right now, if you go after a directory you don't have access to, it'll tell you it exported it, but it really didn't. So you want to go check for that error. Let's go to slide 34, please. Now we'll take a look at if you're using the Kix Interdependency Analyzer plugin. Now here again, the primary reasons for connection failures is going to turn out to be security, but here's another thing that a few people have done just because they had the Explorer, they're used to going in and putting in the port number for the Kix region, and they go to set up the IA connection, and they put in the port number and host address of the CICS. And if you do that, it's not going to connect, and this is the exception you're going to get where it's going to tell you there was some type of a protocol error coming back because it's using – this is a DB2 client that the IA is going to use. It's going to use the JCC class to connect in. So it's looking to be going on the host to a DB2 system, not to a Kix region. So you definitely don't want to be putting in the host and port of the Kix region, even though you might think, oh, if it's Kix IA, I want to connect to Kix. Let's go to slide 35. And then here, what I've done is identified this one tech note, and here's the URL for it. The tech note is the 141.0808. It's probably the most common startup problem with Kix IA getting the connection to occur. If you do not normally connect with clients to DB2, there's a good chance that your DB2 administrator has not properly configured the host DB2 environment to allow these client connections to come in. And this tech note is you can go ahead and review it. It has very good detail on how to identify what all the different symptoms are that will come out, primarily like -805 and stuff like that. The package for the DB2 client has to be bound and given public permission so that these clients can come in and successfully connect. Otherwise, it's going to continue to tell you that it can't find the CIU version table down in the client, but it's really going to be a DB2 configuration. The Information Center Friday has a very good write-up on what you have to do, and then the DB2 manuals have a very good write-up if you want to have a Type 4 JCA connection coming in of what the DBA has to configure in order for this to work. And once those are there, I haven't seen anybody having problems with the initial connection coming in from IA. Let's go to slide 36. One of the other plugins is the Performance Analyzer plugin. And here, you're not, although you have an option, we'll get to it later, where you can connect to a DB2 to look at your data, the primary thing you do with the PA plugin is you're going to basically work with CSV, the comma separated value files that were produced on the host in the PA environment and exported. If that file, if there's a problem with the file or maybe you're missing maintenance or something else, there's a few things you might see as far as symptoms go. You could get a null pointer exception can occur. You might get an exception saying there was an unhandled event loop or an array out of bounds exception. So any of those three things can occur if there's problems with this CSV file. Let's go to slide 37. So what you want to do is, one, make sure you've got the latest maintenance applied to the Kix PA plugin that's available. So I think right now that's probably 1.003 level or 2.003. You also, and this is also very important, is when you're exporting the CSV performance summary data from the Kix PA on the host, you have to make sure that you use the correct report form. So if you're doing Kix TS version 3 data, you have to use the sample form Explore 3. If it's TS4, you have to use Explore 4. And this is documented at the Information Center below. They'll tell you about those. If you put the data out without those, you're going to run into errors when you try to process it. Let's go to slide 38, please. Another thing that people have run into is they'll go ahead and say the data's down there fine, and they go to load it, and when you're looking at it on the floor, all the data loaded into a single cell. It didn't load into a normal spreadsheet view. And that comes back to when you're producing the file on the host, down here on the left side under the extract format, not only do you have to get the Explore 3 or 4 form right, your delimiter, the default, is a semicolon. You can change that to a comma, and it'll load correctly into a separate cell down in the Explorer. It's just that when it can't find what it's looking for is a comma, that's why it all loads the data into a single cell. So if you run into that, you can change it here. Let's look at slide 39. The other things that can cause some of those problems is if after you get the file, the CSV file down there, it becomes corrupted in any way. So you have to make sure you produce it with the PA dialog. You can't export it from some other format and generate the CSV yourself. Definitely don't use Excel or any other tool to open the CSV file, because there's with the timestamps of the data we've exported, Excel is going to change that format. And even if you don't modify the file, if you just opened it with Excel and closed it, that file is still going to be corrupted, and you're going to get strange errors when you try to process it. Look at slide 40. The other thing that some people have run into is that the amount of data you exported is just simply too large to load. Because of the CSV file, it loads the whole thing into the Java memory at once. So what you might do is it might hang for a little while. You might get an out-of-memory exception. So you can either do one or two things. We'll talk about it on the next slide. You can either use a smaller file, export less data. Let's go to slide 41, please. Or you can go in and you can start the Explorer from a command line, and you can pass in the JVM arguments and basically increase the size of the heap available if you want to go ahead and load and process that file. The other way you can increase that is, let's go to slide 42. As you can just, you can modify in the, where you run the Kix Explorer from. If it's on your PC and you have access to the file, you can go into the Kix underbar Explorer subdirectory, and there's a kixexplorer.ini file, and you can just go in where the VM args currently are and modify them there, and then restart the Explorer using the icon. Go to slide 43. The other thing that you know, I found even on mine is it hung for a long time, but never really gave me any exception. I didn't really see any error whatsoever. And then it just disappeared. And what I found then in the Explorer directory is it took this core dump. And then on that one, you can run from where you run the Explorer in the bin directory, you can run a jextract on that dump, but it's really going to be, in this case, it's related to the size of the file being too large. Let's look at slide 44. The other thing you can do, you may have a problem with, is you can also have your Kix PA data sitting in a DB2 database. And in that case, you have to make sure on the host that you run the CPA XPLRV job so that it's going to, and if you don't do that, it's not going to create the DB2 view that the Explorer needs to use in order to view that data. And that's documented here in the Info Center. But if you're in there, while you're in the container for PA on the Explorer, if you do an Alt plus Enter and you click on the connection page, this is the type of error you would see when it can't find this Explorer underbar summary view that was created by that CPA XXPLRV job. Let's look at slide 45. And this is the type of exception you would get back if you can't find that view. You'd see the SQL error code, the -471 in the state. So if some type of a symptom like this comes up, you really have to make sure that, one, the view's there, and two, you have access to the view with your user ID. Let's now go on to slide 46. Okay, so now we'll talk about if you have the CICS Configuration Manager plugin. That particular one, the primary thing you have to do is make sure you have these two PTFs applied. Without these, it's not going to work. So make sure you have those two on. Let's go to slide 47. If you have those on, the other thing that will come in is if the KixCM server, either running in a standalone region or running in a Kix web user interface server, if it didn't initialize properly or if you got the port wrong when you try to connect, you'll get this type of an exception, just another connection exception failed for that port number. And then on slide 48, you'll get this connection refused exception will come out. And those are about the only basic things for getting the Kix Configuration Manager plugin to connect. So let's now go to slide 49. And just a brief summary. I hope that if you're just starting to use the Explorer, if you've been frustrated in any way with trying to get the initial connection to go, I hope I've identified some of the errors you may or may not have experienced and how to get around those and what to look for. If there's anything else we can do, let me know at the Q&A or go ahead and ask. Let's go on to slide 50. Although you may not have any problems at all, some people have had no problems. They've connected and it's worked fine. But if you do, we've got some must-gatherers available out there and some other hints and tips on the Explorer forum. You definitely want to make sure that you're either using the automatic update facility in the Explorer, which will keep you current on maintenance. So right now we're at, in the base Explorer, it's at 1.0.06 is where you would like to be. If you use IBM Fix Central, you can go and to do centralized management. Make sure you get the latest level from there. And lastly, if you do have to contact us for assistance, either for defect support or Q&A, going back to those first slides, as much detail as possible, screenshots, and ideally if you can collect the service data from the Explorer and send that in, that's going to help us to identify the problem quickly. So let's go on to slide 51. A few more resources. Here's just the link to the support page for KIX. The CICS feature documents, this is where we keep things about new tool products that are coming out, other updates that are available. The other thing that's helpful to you is you can sign up to receive technical support emails. That's a way to be proactive and know what's going on. You can follow KIX on Twitter. There are usually posts out there once or twice, sometimes multiple times a day, but at least once or twice in a week. The last two sites out here are for webcasts that you can view for KIX and OmegaMon for KIX products. And then the IBM Education Assistant modules will have things on basic KIX, getting started with writing applications, debugging, et cetera. Let's go to slide 52. And again, we want to hear from you. So at that time, Joseph.
Thank you, Bill, for a great presentation. At this point in time, Jody, we would like to open the lines for questions.
At this time, there are no questions.
Thank you, Jody. At this time, we will conclude the presentation.